Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to another edition of TNJ Radio. I'm in the building with my main man, Jay Wells. How you doing, brother?
I'm excellent, bro. Good afternoon, kings and queens. I hope everyone's having a great week.
Absolutely, absolutely. How are things going for you, man? Work good, life good?
Man, things are excellent, man. Feeling good, feeling great. Very excited about tonight's show, man. There's so many things we're about to touch on. I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of fired up about it.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Me too, man. As y'all know, TNJ Radio, solution-based radio, and what we have been doing last week, you know, we did our year in review, and then we had solutions to go along with that for 2015. So we're just going to finish up our year in review, and then we're going to have some solutions for y'all like we do, keeping it real positive, keeping it moving like that. And then after that, we're going to jump back into our regularly scheduled program moving forward. But we just felt like, you know, since we had took a little bit of time off, that we needed to go ahead and do a year in review so that, you know, we make sure that we covered everything that had kind of happened in 2015 because we missed a couple weeks toward the end. So with that being said, you know, we ended off at number five, Wells, and you know what I'm saying. The rest of the next one is really interesting, and I'm gonna throw this out to you first, man, and let see what you think about it. The number six, man, is real interesting. Donald Trump and the 2016 presidential campaign. We could probably go in on this forever, but
I think that's an episode. I think that's an episode. That's a full episode on its own.
Right, but for but for today's purposes, you know what I'm saying. We'll take a few minutes to talk about this, man. But I mean, you know, generally speaking, what's your impressions of Donald Trump, man, and what's going on with that so far?
Remember that Chappelle skit, man, with the black white supremacist, and he said, "If you feel it in your spirit, let that hate out." That's Donald Trump. Enables, like, he has shown us who people really are. You know what I'm saying? The fact that Donald Trump and the rhetoric, the ridiculous, the nonsense that comes out of this man's mouth, and he's actually got found people. He actually found people that support it, believe in it, and rally behind it. It shows you where we are in America, and it's really like disappointing. But it's also stuff that we already kind of know. But he's been the clown to kind of put that stuff into put that into the forefront. Like, I've never seen someone speak so much gibberish and really have so many people follow it. And it's like there's so many different things you can find on YouTube, or it's like television shows, man, between the Trevor Noah guy, and it's a bunch of different shows on regular television. And people talk about it like, dude, these fans, these people that are supporting him don't even know what he's talking about. They can't even relate to him. The majority of Donald Trump supporters are poor white people. The things that Donald Trump believes in don't even support poor white people. And it's really just a joke. And at first I was like, man, it's a flame out. America's not that stupid. Wrong. They proved me wrong again. Wrong. Let me down again. As soon as I was like, man, this can't be for real, right? No, it gets even worse. And he's just really just spearheaded the Islamophobia of America, you know what I'm saying? And he's just like, he's gotten so ridiculous with it, it's really just disrespectful to most Americans. Not even just like Muslims, Hispanics, but just Americans in general, you know what I'm saying? America across the board, no matter race or ethnicity. It's just disrespectful that he's been able to kind of create a platform on based on BS and actually gain support for it. And I'm going to go out and say, you know what? I'm going to give people more credit than I. Well, I'm going to give them some credit. He can't win a nomination, man. I don't think so. But he's just a complete idiot, and it's really disappointing that he's made it this far. But I'm just saying, bro. I think that this will be short lived. What do you think?
It's been quite perplexing, man, I have to admit. I never thought this thing would get legs at all. you know, in terms of Donald Trump and his quote unquote candidacy. And so it's really interesting to be quite honest. I think that he's definitely feeding into the racial hate and the racial you know, evil and underbelly of America. That's quite apparent. I mean, you can't go anywhere without, you know, hearing him say something that is offensive in that manner, you know, whether it comes back to when the brother got stumped out at his rally, whether it comes to, he said something about Hillary Clinton the other day that I thought was funny. I mean, that I didn't think was funny, that other people thought was funny, where I think a dog barked in a rally, and then he said, oh, is that Hillary Clinton or something along those lines. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where he's really feeding into that, you know, sexist, racial, all of those lines that you could even think about. You know, that's what he's doing. And, I mean, it's sad, to be quite honest. I mean, I never thought that his presidential efforts would even get anywhere near this far, to be quite honest. And it's I can't even find words for it. Every time I see him, it's a joke. Just to see him up there, I mean, to see his Made in America hats or whatever they are, I mean, to find out, like, they were made in China. I mean, like, the dude is just a total clown. And I don't really know what to say about it. I mean, I just hope that, you know, it fizzles out. And I think I was in the same ballpark as you were. I thought, okay, you know, this is a joke. It's funny. Ha ha. It'll disappear here soon, but then it didn't, and it just kept going and kept going and kept, you know, kind of gaining steam, and then from there, it just kept going. And so what I'm really hoping is that, you know, once it gets to this Iowa, you know, Iowa caucus coming up, that he'll take an L there, which is probably looking like he won't, but, you know, as things move forward, I'm just hoping that people will come to their senses and get that man out of there, because there's no way. I mean, I just couldn't see this dude going overseas and representing this country in any way, shape, or form. And if he did, I would probably leave America ASAP.
I could definitely see myself. That would be it. I think that'll be the one. That'll get me out.
That's what it would take to get me to leave America, definitely, man. So with that being said, you know, I mean, it's, I don't even think it's really a big solution to that, man. Don't support Donald Trump, you know, ignore everything that has to do with him. And, I mean, if you support Donald Trump, I've been telling people straight up, if you support Donald Trump, man, we not cool, flat out. If you can support anything that comes out that man's mouth, we are alike. We have nothing in common.
There's no middle ground.
There's no middle ground. The solution to that is simple. If you support Donald Trump, we not cool. We going to go ahead and keep it pushing. You do what you do, I do what I do, man. And that's kind of how it is with that. The next one, man, that I want to jump into, Wells, is the police shootings and police brutality, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's really tied into, you know, how, like, the Black Lives Matter movement really jumped off this year. But, you know, it's one of those things where kind of we talked about to a certain extent in other shows this year, but it's really one of those things that I'm glad that it happened the way that it happened, in terms of not being happy that obviously our brothers and sisters, you know, lost lives and things of that nature. But that it took off the way that it did, you know, where people got to the point to where they were tired of, you know, the treatment that we received from police, you know, the way that police were coming at us. And we talked about in you know, one-on-one and just separate occasions how just growing up in Detroit and me being back in Detroit now, you know, seeing how the police come at you, you know what I'm saying? And this has been a year where people, you know what I'm saying, black folks in particular, and it's been cool to see some of our white brothers and sisters as well joining in saying, like, look, man, like, that's enough of this, you know. But the fact that all of these folks are being murdered and brutalized by police, and the fact that we have the technology to catch it has been quite overwhelming, man, and it's tough to watch. And we have conversations all the time about whether or not we'll watch those videos, but when you think about the police brutality and things of that nature, how did that make you feel in 2015?
It's devastating, but the thing is, we already know this stuff happens, and it's not like a secret to us, but it's just like it's one of those things that, oh man, they're opening up Good Morning America with it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are starting to see this. People outside of our neighborhoods are starting to see this, and it's sad that it required video evidence for other people to kind of really believe, like, oh man, cops are really shooting brothers. Like, and I'm kind of mad that his name escapes me right now, but the brother in South Carolina, he took off running, and the cops just let it go. It's like he went kind of crazy on him. And then you see the brother in Chicago. Walter Scott, that's his name.
Yeah.
Brother Walter Scott, he started running. The cop just started letting it ring. It was like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was a movie scene, man. That wasn't real life. That was a movie scene. And the way that went down, no jury would have believed that if it wasn't for video evidence. Because you want to believe that no police officer is going to go out of his way to shoot someone just because they ran. Like, I couldn't believe that. And this guy was a legit 40 yards away from him. And this guy is gunning him down, then moving stuff. He started changing the crime scene. You know what I'm saying? And if it wasn't video evidence, no one would have ever believed that. And it's really one of those things, man. It's like, it's just unfortunate that it took something like that for people to start believing, like, oh, man, maybe the Mike Brown situation was a little shaky, or maybe Trayvon Martin situation did play out this way. Because it's like people are starting to give us the benefit of the doubt now when we say these things. It hasn't really turned into many convictions, but they're barely pressing charges on these guys now, but at least people are starting to kind of acknowledge, and it sucks, man, because I hate to say that it's a small win, but it is a small win. You know, it's like you don't want to you would like to see a larger win, but hey, at least it is somewhat of a step forward being taken with the amount of video evidence and reliable witnesses coming forth, things of that nature, man, because we can't have another year when stuff like Eric Garner happens. I don't think America can stand with another year of stuff like guys getting choked out on video and dying and nothing happening. And it's impossible. If people want to make it seem like there won't be riots in New York or D.C. or something like that, it can happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's close.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that if Eric Garner happened again, it's not going to be Sweet and Queens. That won't happen. I'm going to Staten Island. That won't slide again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That won't slide again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure the people are ready. It's like that won't happen twice, because everyone that's been indicted in regards to Eric Garner are the people that didn't touch Eric Garner. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think it was like the supervisor or something like that, and it's really just crazy. And I'm sorry, and I hate to go further into it. It just made me think about Freddie Gray. Just last week, one of the officers had a mistrial.
Yeah.
Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? That was like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Got a mistrial already.
That's the messed up part about it, because, you know, when you look at just the police brutality and the shootings overall, you know, that's one thing. But then when you take it into, you know, you dig deeper and you do that deeper dive, the worst part about it is, you know, is that these folks are walking, man. You know, the people that committed the crime on videotape for everybody to see, these people are literally walking away, or not being charged or whatever. And then even furthermore, my man, it's so many of these cases, you can't even remember everybody. Like, you can't even remember all the people.
That's what I'm saying. The body count has gotten so ridiculous. You can't remember names.
It's so wild. Like, I literally just, like, was like, man, let me do a Google search right quick. So, and it's still not even, you know, these, like, only the big names that kind of really came to the forefront, like Mike Brown, Tamir Rice, Freddie Gray, Walter Scott, Laquan McDonald, and there was so many more people than that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I can't even remember the brother. What was the guy in Wisconsin?
My man, yeah. Like, I can't remember his name. It's like dark skinned Jermaine. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, I mean, it's to the point to where, like, it's like a regular occurrence on the evening news, like in the hood, where somebody get killed, and then you just kind of like, I ain't gonna say like blow over it, but it's just like background noise at this point almost. And it's something that it's not background noise, but what I'm saying is it's becoming so commonplace that you can't even keep up with the names of the people that these things are happening to, because it's just so frequent at this point in time. And so it's really, you know what I'm saying, it's really good that folks are marching and, you know what I'm saying, really making a big deal out of it. And at the same time, it's not, you know what I'm saying, what's not gangsta is the fact that the people, because they are law, you know what I'm saying, law officers or what have you, are walking away. Because if that was me or you, man, we would never see the light of day again.
Dude.
If I was caught on tape, you know what I'm saying, letting off rounds into some dude back, like, it's over. It don't even matter what happened. Even if I had a CCW, I can't shoot a man in the back while he's running away. That's in the CCW manual. You can't do that. Even if you come in my house to rob me, I can't shoot you in the back as you run out my house. So these dudes doing that on tape and still walking, and that's the sad part about it. But you know what I'm saying? I think really a solution for this, for me, man, is to keep these people's name alive. You know what I'm saying? Keep mentioning these folks that lost their lives. If you one of the activists that like to be out on the streets and marching and doing that, keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? We can't let people lose their lives in this manner, to the hands of law enforcement, and those people not pay the price for it.
Yeah, I just following that up, man. It just makes me think about the video of Officer Ben Fields, the guy in South Carolina that flipped a little girl out of the seat. Like, I don't understand how that brother can stand there and let that happen. It's not about that being, even, she could have been right or wrong, but I'm not going to stand by and watch a police officer body slam a little girl. You know what I'm saying? And and to me, the solution is stop being idle. We got to stop being that weak Negro. You know what I'm saying? We got to stop letting that stuff slide. We got to do something. And it just makes me think about the other police officer in Texas beating up the little girl at the pool party. We got to stop letting this slide. We can't let this stuff slide. And you can't be afraid. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying go risk your life. I'm not saying go put your life in danger. But you can do a lot to help de-escalate a situation. You know what I'm saying? And that's something we have to take ownership of. That's my solution to that, man. Don't be idle. You can't just stand by and let this stuff happen as they attack our children, as they attack our brothers, as they attack our sisters. We can't let that stuff slide.
Word, man. The next one, man, as we get down to it, you know, we got two more topics left before we get up out of here today. TNJ Radio, solution-based radio. You know what I'm saying? We talk about the problems, but we talk about the solutions, and that's the difference between us and everybody else. You know, we don't want to just talk about what's wrong out here. We want to talk about what's wrong, but also how we can fix it. Because if you only pose a problem and you don't have a solution, then we really don't have anything to talk about. Man, the next thing, well, is gun violence, man. And I know this is kind of turning into like a violent little segment here, but I mean, 2015 was a violent year. And the first thing we could start off with, you know, and when we talk about gun violence, we're talking about these mass shootings. The mass shootings are starting to turn into one of those things where every time you turn around, it's a whole heap of people getting shot up by some wacko, and then, you know, it's just like background noise, so to speak. You know, going back to the young dude in South Carolina that walked up in the church and sat around and praised and worshiped with our brothers and sisters, and then, you know, lit the whole joint up before he got up out of there. And that was just a completely, you know, just insane situation. And then just a few weeks ago, you know, the situation out in San Bernardino where, you know, the folks that claim to be affiliated with some ISIS group maybe you know, shot up that place out there. So how are you feeling about this gun violence right now, man? It's kind of crazy, and, you know, it's hard to really put your finger on it because, you know, people, like the situation in South Carolina, you know, he was viewed a certain way because he was a young white dude. Well, I think, you know, to be completely 100, if a black person walked into a church and shot up a church full of white people, it would have been open season. And then the same thing, you know, out in San Bernardino, you know, how these people did this act in, you know, under the umbrella of ISIS, and now your boy Donald Trump and everybody saying, can't no Muslims come into the country, and how, you know, it's different how I think the dude in South Carolina named is Dylan something, but how he got treated completely different versus what they did to those folks out in out in California, where they lit the whole car up.
No conversation.
We not even talking about this. Whereas they walked my man out, took him to Burger King, got him something to eat. But anyway, I ain't even gonna get into that because that's crazy. But what you thinking about that, man? The whole gun violence situation, the mass shootings.
Not even going in on white privilege and what Dylan received compared to others, we're just going to talk about the guns. And the thing is, man, it's too easy to get them, bro. That's just all it is. It's too easy to get a weapon. And until we really get to the point where America understands that we have to stop importing weapons at the rate that we're importing weapons, we have to stop making it as easy for people to receive weapons. But that kid, there's no way he should have been able to buy a gun. And it's already guns in the black market, stuff like that. But we need to crack down on weapons the way we try to crack down on drugs in around the country. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's too easy to get a gun. It's too easy. And we really need to address that. And there needs to be legislation put forward. There's a lot of different ways to go about it, but there has to be a concerted effort, like a major effort on from both political parties to kind of get behind gun control. And so you're going to hear the idiots, like with the NRA and all these guys talking about, they're trying to take our guns and all that dumb stuff. But, dude, the reality is people can't mentally handle having weapons. They can't handle it. If people were more mature, you wouldn't have to worry about that. If people used guns for what they were used for, that wouldn't be a problem. When you have people that have these radical agendas, they go crazy. And, again, people never want to call a white guy radical. But Dylan, what's his face, was a radical. You know what I'm saying? He was an extremist. They don't want to call him a Christian extremist, but that's what he was. He was a Christian extremist. But nobody wants to talk about that because if he was a Muslim, we already know where that would have went. You know what I'm saying? So we got to call him what he is. He's a Christian extremist. He's a terrorist. Call him what he is, and that needs to be addressed. But, again, those clowns like Trump and most of our major media outlets, not most of them, all of our major media outlets won't call him what he is. And it's up to us and any platform out there to kind of just go ahead and just address it and say what it is, man. It's like that guy's a terrorist, and we need to start doing everything we can to try to put something forward as far as gun control. And we talked about it last week in regards to something that Obama could do on the way out. That's what he needs to emphasize, man. He needs to get something major in the works with gun control because that is what, dude, it's just unfortunate the way people have access to these semi-automatic weapons. These aren't handguns. You know, these aren't like pistols. These are like semi-automatic weapons.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and I think, man, you know, when it comes to the whole gun issue, man, if you ever talk to me, man, if you know me, like my rationale about guns is simple, man. I feel like the gun was the worst invention in human history, point blank, period. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way around it, in my opinion. It gave a whole bunch of people the ability to be cowards and harm people at long range. It's not about, I don't care what the NRA and what the, you know what I'm saying, whatever amendments say, man, I'm not trying to hear that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can protect yourself in other ways than having a pistol on you. And that, I mean, I just wholeheartedly believe that. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, they couldn't handle the Native Americans and their arrows. You know what I'm saying? If you read your history on that. So the Texas Rangers, and I don't even know why they got a baseball team called the Texas Rangers, but that's a whole other story. They couldn't handle the fact that the Native Americans had arrows and they couldn't figure out, you know, where they was getting shot from, up high, down low, whatever. So they had to come up with all types of other methods to offset that, and then you start creating guns and stuff. And I'm just talking about, like, how the guns really start popping in America. But it's just silly because, like, if somebody came into my house and I'm going to defend my home with whatever I have in there, but I don't need a gun. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go, and I'm okay with that because I believe that my life was written before I got here. So me having a gun ain't going to save me from whatever, you know what I'm saying, God had intended for my life to be. And that's just how I view it, man. And these guns out here just out of control because dudes got banana clips. They got, you know what I'm saying, they got yappers. I mean, you know what I'm saying, it ain't just little guns out here. And they just give people power that they don't have. Like one of my coworkers, man, was telling me the other day how she has a neighbor that walks around and cuts his grass in Livonia, West Livonia, so like almost, you know what I'm saying, almost near Ann Arbor, dang near, and he walk around cutting his grass with a pistol on his hip. I'm like, why you got a pistol on your hip cutting your grass, bro? Ain't nobody about to run up on you out there. Like, there's nothing going on out there, but he walking around cutting grass with a gun on his hip. So I just think it's silly, man, and it's just a I don't know. I don't even have words for it, man. I just think the guns are silly and we should just, I can't say get rid of them because people will be mad, but I'm not about that. You know what I'm saying? I don't like guns. Anyway, man, real quick, our last topic, man, and we can, you know, go on for days on this, but real quick, man, it was a big year for terrorism, man. And I just want to say this on that topic and then I'll give you a chance and we'll get out of here, man. I just wish that domestic terrorists in America would be called domestic terrorists just like we treat foreign terrorists or people that, you know, are affiliated with ISIS and do acts on American soil, and we call them terrorists. So when cats like my man that shot up the movie theater, you know, cats like the dude that shot up that church in South Carolina, I think they should be viewed and treated just like somebody affiliated with ISIS should be treated because they are terrorists, just like you said earlier. And I don't think that they should get any different treatment because of the fact that they're white and they're in America. And I'll leave it at that when it comes to the terrorism. What about you, man?